You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the new PFF NFL Daily. Here's a recent snippet from the PFF NFL podcast.
You made a few predictions that we could tear apart.
Predictions or suggestions.
Fits.
Where I would place these guys.
Some of the Jerry Jeudy rumors recently was that the Browns could be interested.
Yeah.
Refuted reports back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Patriots could be interested in Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, so the Patriots are a team that's getting linked to a lot of people, obviously, because they still need a number one wide receiver. Juju is not going to be that guy for you. This AFC arms race, the AFC East, I mean, before you get anywhere beyond that, it feels like New England needs to make something pretty big happen if they're going to seriously contend within that division. And that would seem to suggest you need a wide receiver. And obviously, Brandon Cooks went somewhere else. They didn't get him. So you got to turn to other options. To me, the best New England option is Cortland Sutton.
Why is that?
Well, people are going to talk about Nuke. People are going to talk about Jeudy. I think Sutton is the guy that provides the Patriots the best sort of mix of what they're looking for, which is a potential true X wide receiver, a 6'4", 215-pound guy that can run and threaten on the outside, threaten deep down the field. He's a longer-term investment than Nuke would be if they went that direction. I think he's also cheaper if you look at his contract. But I think he also specifically threatens ways that Jerry Jeudy hasn't shown that he can so far in the NFL. So I think Sutton to New England is the best fit of the guys that they could potentially bring in.
Do you have T. Higgins on the trading block? Because the Bengals fans are
I do. So I also put T. Higgins to New England. That would be the other option. Not together, like they're not trading for both of them, obviously. But the two guys that make the most sense for New England are Cortland Sutton and T. Higgins.
All right. And just to reiterate, this is not necessarily a prediction. It's saying the Bengals will have a decision to make. Like I would do everything I could to keep Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
Sure.
I would.
And I've said this several times. I absolutely believe them when they say they have no intention of trading T. Higgins. But there's a difference between that and actively turning down a trade offer from New England that involves the 14th overall pick in the draft.
Yes. And so let's pretend that New England would give up pick 14.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about these moves as a balance sheet. So hear me out for a second here, Bengals fans. You have one more year of awesome T. Higgins control, basically. One more year of him on a cheap contract. That's valuable, right? That's part of the balance sheet. I can keep T. Higgins, and then I can decide I'm going to re-up him, pay for him, let him walk, get a comp pick in the whole thing. Or the other side of the balance sheet, let's say it's pick 14. It's your choice of a starting edge defender, a starting cornerback at a place that you need, plus the 2 years down the road, $22 million that you're going to save for T. Higgins. So let's just pretend it's you're choosing between T. Higgins for this year versus, say, let's Christian Gonzalez, starting cornerback potentially, plus 2 years down the road, re-signing Trey Hendrickson, or the next defensive, Chase Young becomes available from Washington and you could pay him instead of Higgins. Now, you might at one point say, just pay Higgins. Steve says receivers are the most valuable commodity, just pay Higgins. But you're getting a first-round pick in addition to, say, the next big defensive end player that's available or whatever it is, free agent. Brian Burns a couple years ago. I'm throwing names out there that they could pay. I don't know, 2 years from now. So you throw $20 million at one of those guys, plus you have a first contract, say, starting cornerback like Christian Gonzalez. Those are the things you're weighing versus, man, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase with Joe Burrow, never let me see them broken up, which is another fair point. I'm just saying those are the things I think that are on the table that Cincinnati needs to consider.
The bottom line is everybody has a price. Everybody and
everything. For the million-dollar man.
Has a price, right? And if
can we insert a Ted DiBiase laugh here?
There you go. A little silence for them to put it in. The what was the deal for A.J. Brown? It was, what was the pick? 20? Whatever the pick was. But they gave a third rounder as well for A.J. Brown. And then they were the team that made the deal. And that was just Tennessee having to think about paying one guy. Not on the horizon is a Joe Burrow market resetting contract and a Ja'Marr Chase market resetting contract. And we just gave up all this year's saved money to invest in Orlando Brown at left tackle. Like, can the Bengals get that done? Sure. Are they so wedded to getting that done that they're going to turn down a trade offer involving the 14th overall pick and a third rounder or whatever else is involved in that trade? Maybe, but people declaring that like 100% would not ever happen, I think, are crazy, because that you would be out of your mind to dismiss out of hand that deal, like just not even take the phone call. If New England calls them up and that's the trade offer on the table, that's a very difficult thing to turn down if you're Cincinnati.
By the way, from New England's perspective, I would play that well. I mean, I would do that, play that balance sheet as well. Their discussion is, let's pretend it's Christian Gonzalez, starting cornerback that would fit in New England, or Joey Porter, whoever, starting corner, starting tackle, starting whatever for New England on a rookie contract versus T. Higgins at $23 million a year plus the first round pick, doing it all day. I don't think he's as good as A.J. Brown. I don't think he has the same impact as A.J. Brown, but I'm still doing it all day if I'm New England, because they got no other choice, in my opinion, but to make one of these big moves.
And that, by the way, is why I think Sutton might be a better option, though, than T. Higgins, because I think it's probably more attainable for them.
It probably is. That just feels like it's... Look, I thought on the surface last year, New England's deal for Devontae Parker, getting him cheap in an expensive wide receiver market, it's like it's a good move. But they ended up with just a slew of pretty good moves. You know, you got this guy, you got Kendrick Bourne, and you spent a second on Tyquan Thornton, who could be a good deep threat, and you got some okay tight ends or whatever. New England needs big-time playmakers. Not that Sutton can't be that guy, but I think Higgins has a better chance, the injury history and catch radius and everything that Higgins brings to the table. Mm-hmm. So you're saying New England has to make a move, in your opinion. They're rumored to make a lot of these different moves. You like Cortland Sutton or T. Higgins, big-bodied receivers going to the Patriots.
Yeah, big-bodied receivers that can win outside and bring something different to that receiving core than they currently have. And, by the way, propel it somewhere different than it can currently get to with the group that they have right now.
All right, what else do you have for good landing spots here for receivers?
So, the other two receivers from Denver, again, they're not all going to get traded at the same time, but if one of them is the guy that gets traded, Jerry Jeudy to Minnesota would be pretty special. Now, obviously,
could they do that?
Yeah, why not? Again, like, if that cost you their, 23 is their pick? We've been mocking them, guys like Jordan Addison. What if instead of Jordan Addison, you get Jerry Jeudy? Now you've got Justin Jefferson absolutely dominating everywhere. And your complement, in addition to KJ Osborne, is one of the best route runners in the NFL, a guy that gets open against man coverage all the time and can work consistently different areas of the field. You can free up Justin Jefferson to win in some other ways.
Could you, so you think it maybe pick 23 from Minnesota? Is that worth it? Because the price for Jeudy, and I know we've seen this compared, you know, New Hopkins went for a second. There's a couple mitigating circumstances there. Crazy contract, plus Bill O'Brien was the GM at the time. Mm-hmm. And you don't always have a Bill O'Brien at GM.
True.
Justin Jefferson went for pick.
Rarely, in fact.
Yes, yeah. Rarely. Justin Jefferson went for what, 18? Pick 18? I'm sorry, Stephon Diggs' trade was for Justin Jefferson at pick 17 or 18 or whatever it was.
Right.
But Diggs and Hopkins both had big contracts, either currently or pending, right? Stephon Diggs needed to get paid. New Hopkins was getting paid. Is Jerry Jeudy worth the first? You're going to get one more year of pretty cheap of Judy, and then a fifth-year option of a decent price, and then you're going to have to pay him. That's actually similar to what Marquise Brown went for. So I think a first-round pick for Judy, I mean, I think Judy's better than Marquise Brown, who went for a first last year in a similar spot where he had years 4 and 5 basically on his first year, his first contract that needed to go. So I think a first rounder is fine. Judy and Justin Jefferson, I could play that game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vikings are already, I mean, they're strapped because of they've had those contracts that they're trying to deal with and manipulate and everything. The Vikings can't do much else as far as big moves. They need to, if they're going to make any move, it's got to be for someone on the cheap. And I think Judy could fit the bill there.
Yeah. Somebody is complaining that, you know, the Vikings like Justin Jefferson in the slot. It doesn't make sense. They need a guy that can win outside. Two counterpoints to that. Number one, Jefferson spent 70% of his snaps lined up out wide. So you're talking 30% of his time in the slot. Now, even if you say they want to increase that, they can increase it 15%, and it would still only be 45% of his time in the slot. So there's plenty of space for the extra guy they bring in as a complementary threat to be a slot guy. Number two, Jerry Jeudy can play outside fine. Like, that's not a limiting factor for him. He has played 700 snaps in the last three years out wide. He's got a good grade playing out wide. He's got footwork speed and route running to win outside. That isn't the problem. So actually, I think it's a perfect complement in that both guys can play inside or out, and I would stay the way it is, which is Jeudy spends the majority of his time in the slot. Jefferson spends the majority of his time out wide, but they can cross over and they can flip when they need it to happen.
Yeah, I think that works perfectly fine. I just love that you said everybody's got a price to kick this all off.
Everybody's got a price.
For the $1 million man. What other wide receiver landing spots do you like here?
So the third Denver receiver, KJ Hamler. I love that to Seattle. We talked about how the Seahawks need a slot guy.
Yeah.
That also sticks with what they, you know, Geno's taken over from Russ as having one of the best deep balls in the NFL. That gives you a slot receiver, and it gives you a dude that still maintains the deep threat. You've now got three guys that can go deep in DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and KJ Hamler, and it brings a slot receiver and a slot threat to that offense as well.
Deep pass production is very receiver dependent. That might sound obvious, but remember, Joe, we were asking why Joe Burrow can't hit a deep ball after his rookie season.
Right.
Right. He was like 5 for 100 throwing the ball down the field after being precision at LSU. Enter Ja'Marr Chase, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Joe Burrow, he's got the deep ball back. I mean, not to take anything away from Burrow or, you know, the quarterback there, but it is a dependent position or stat or production-based stat. So a lot of words there that didn't make sense.
No.
The Geno deep ball, make it better for Geno. Yep.
So the biggest name that we haven't actually given a landing spot to yet is Nuke Hopkins, who I think is a perfect fit for that Carolina offense. Like, we talked about this before. That makes all the freaking sense in the world to me. I don't think the asking price for Nuke is going to be that high because of his age, because of his contract, because of what Brandon Cooks went for. Carolina has the remaining picks to make a deal like that happen, and it's the perfect marriage of short to medium term addition, helping whoever the hell you draft at number one or at your top pick actually survive, keep his head above water because of the miserable weaponry that they currently have, which we joked about on the podcast the other day. Adding Nuke to that group immediately makes that a pretty good offense. Like, you know, if you're not going, well, Adam Thielen is our number one, that's bad. If Adam Thielen is your number two or three and Nuke Hopkins is your number one, and all of a sudden everybody else, like, the complexion that you're looking at those weapons as complementary pieces is very different to how you look at it when that's all you have.
Yeah, we broke this down all the other day, right? Again, nothing gets me more excited than moving everybody down a notch on the receiver depth chart. Move them all down. Nuke 1, Thielen 2, Chenault's your gimmick guy. Terrace Marshall can still be this year 3, right? Breakout player. All that stuff is in play. But let Hopkins be that guy that helps C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, whoever it ends up being.
They also have the money for it, by the way, which is not true for some other teams.
No, I could buy that. I want to discuss, because the rumor was Jerry Jeudy going to the Browns potentially.
Mm.
And again, I just try not to keep up with the rumors. It just came up, and you can consider all this stuff, because why not? Right now they have Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, David Bell, and a few other guys. Anthony Schwartz, Jakeem Grant, like gimmicky type of guys. Man, I would love this, though. If you're the Browns, Amari Cooper as your one, Jerry Jeudy, 1A, 1B, right? Get the Bama connection there. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones gets to be your three, right? Again, it's not even a knock on Donovan Peoples-Jones. Can he be a good, solid number two wide receiver who's had a pretty good career so far? Big body, downfield threat? Yeah. Make him my three. Make him your third option. You also have David Njoku back at tight end. Jordan Akins, who they just brought in. I would love that. And then, you know, the goal is so that you have to maximize what Deshaun Watson can do. Even if he has regressed a little bit, you make life a little bit easier for him with more guys that can get open. So I'm all in. If the Browns want to do it, they just don't have the first round pick to maybe do it this year or this year's first rounder. So maybe it's something future centric for the Broncos.
The last move that I had as a suggested landing spot was Brandon Ayuk, which again, not on the trade block theoretically, but is the kind of move I think you could test, you know, if you're San Francisco, if you're a team looking to get a wide receiver, I think you should be testing San Francisco's resolve for a guy like Brandon Ayuk because of how many guys they're going to have to pay at some point. You know, they just invested a ton in that defensive line. Christian McCaffrey has been traded for George Kittle. Like, they've got a lot of expensive pieces, even with two quarterbacks on rookie contracts. You know what I mean? So if you're a team that calls up and says, hey, we have a first round pick or, you know, whatever. Now, first round pick is probably not the move here given the team I'm talking about. But my point being, they might not have any intention of trading Brandon Ayuk, but that doesn't mean they would turn down the right offer. Indianapolis.
Brandon Ayuk. Man, I mean, if we had the ability to do some research here and I mean, if you could quickly search Steve Colts receivers, time period, last 4 years.
Right.
All I've been saying is, please just get more receivers.
Maybe
Chris Ballard, you did a great, offensive line's in good shape. You've done some good stuff. The roster's solid, but please get some receivers. Carson Wentz doesn't have a shot without receivers. Phillip Rivers didn't have a shot without better receivers. Matt Ryan has no shot without better receivers and an offensive line that fell apart. I love it for the Colts. And the Ayuk thing, it's similar to T. Higgins, right? Because 2020, I mean, Ayuk has two more years. It's similar to Jerry Jeudy, really. Should Ayuk be on the trading block? No. I mean, the Niners can make it work probably over the next 2 years. But I would also make the phone call just in case. Just in case.
It's all like, so all of these things, all of these trade moves require both teams to buy into it. That's why trades don't actually happen that often. But just because a team says, we're not trading this guy, or we would rather have him on the roster, does not mean that they're going to turn down the right offer coming along. Again, everybody has a price. And there's some teams out there that could be or should be pretty desperate for wide receivers.